Intervju Radija Študent. Yeah, you're abandoned, so sorry. You're just a waste of their time. Yeah, you've been lied to once again. Yeah, well, they paid you no.
Pozdravljeni v intervjuju Radija Študent. Kot ste verjetno že v napovedih slišali, pa tudi nekateri ugotovili iz uvodnega komada ali pa zasledili kje na internetu, tokrat v studiu gostimo Ignite, ki bodo danes nastopili v Gala Hali in sicer gostimo jih prvič, kljub temu, da so pri nas nastopili že večkrat. Je pa z mano v studiju, z intervju bom seveda delala s kabino. Z mano pa je v studiju basist Ignitov Brad. Hello, it's nice to see you, have you here in the studio finally, because this is not your first concert in Slovenia.
No, nice to be here, thank you very much. We're, great being
so,
here.
So, it's a bit unusual, they sent a bass player, because usually it's a guitar player or a singer.
Come on,
you know.
What's wrong with bass players?
No, they're the best.
Okay.
If it was up to me, I would have only bass players in a band, so.
So. It would sound a little strange, but.
Yeah, it would, but okay, it's okay.
Okay, so I have a question first. You guys are playing vinyl right now.
Yeah.
That's awesome. No, yeah. Nobody plays vinyl anymore. Because I heard the scratch from the record when it started. I was like, oh, this is cool.
We also have tapes, you know?
I don't think people know what those are.
Look, she shows you tapes.
You
we still play tapes.
Oh, like old reels.
Yes.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Vintage stuff. Anyways, yeah. Sorry.
Yeah, so do you know which concert is this Ignites in Slovenia?
I think we played twice at Gala Hala before, uh-huh. And then we did the punk rock holidays last summer. So this must be our fourth or fifth time we've been here.
And do you remember, like, how was it on the first two? Were they fulfilling your expectations what will be in Slovenia? Did you have any expectations what will be? Or
we really didn't know what it was going to be like because we had talked to a promoter about coming here for many years, but it just didn't work out for the schedule. And then we booked a show in 2007, I think it was in April, to come here. And they said there was like 700 tickets sold or something. And
it was outside?
Yeah, it was in the back of Galahala. And we were totally surprised. And because, you know, we'd been a band for 15 years at that point, and we come to Europe, you know, once or twice a year, but we'd never had the chance to come here because of our schedule or whatever, so it was awesome. It was really cool. People went crazy. It was one of the best shows
I was there.
Okay. Yeah, it was fun.
Yeah. So you're the bassist. How did you start playing music? When did you start playing music?
I started playing when I was 16 years old, and I knew nothing about music. And I just had some friends in high school who said, hey, let's start a rock band. And I started laughing because I just played sports as a kid, and I said, are you serious? And they said, yeah, let's start a band like Joy Division. And I said, okay. And then so we went down to the music store and I looked at the bass because they said I was going to play bass. And I said, oh, cool. Only 4 strings. That should be easier. I didn't even know. So then, but I got really excited about it from the beginning, and I would practice every day for like 2 or 3 hours.
Until you played covers of Joy Division, or you did your
own? We wrote original songs in my high school band, but just I would come home after school and I would play my bass to anything, you know, to learn and practice and practice and practice. And then I really started getting passionate about it. It was cool.
Did you have any concert with that band, or
just to some small parties in high school? Yeah,
school parties. So how did you get into hardcore music?
I actually just met our guitar player that I started the band with, Joe. We met through a friend, and I knew that he had played in some hardcore bands before, and so we kind of started writing music a little bit similar to his past bands. But I wasn't really like a hardcore guy. Mm-hmm. I came from more of the rock world, so I was like, let's try and make some melody in these punk rock songs. So I think that's how the original sound of Ignite's music started. I was trying to bring these high melodic bass lines into these 3-chord punk rock songs.
So Ignite is your first like hardcore band?
Yeah.
Yeah. So you said you were from a rock background, so what hardcore means to you? Like?
Well, I mean, mostly I was listening to rock stuff, but I mean, all my friends also listened to Sex Pistols and Ramones and all the like the classic punk rock bands. So that was my kind of my part of being into the punk rock world, was like these bigger bands. And then as I slowly started listening to this hardcore music, it was really all this great energy and this really cool positive vibes, like especially like listening to the Bad Brains and hearing their music and all the they introduced that whole positive mental attitude mindset into the music, and I thought that was really cool. And then all these bands with all these political messages and talking about politics and Reagan in the White House and all this stuff, it was interesting because they weren't just singing about cocaine or drinking or something.
Yeah.
So it was like it had a little bit more meaning. So it was like, for me, it was this slow progress of learning to really love this music.
So you started the band in 93.
Yeah.
So it was heavy, I mean hard to start like getting concerts?
It was at the beginning. The original idea was to record a 4-song demo and play a show at a club, not a party. And that was it. And then we made the demo, and we're like, that's cool. And then people started liking the demo tape. Mm-hmm. And then we played the first club show, and then we're like, let's play another one. Let's make a 7-inch. Oh, maybe we make a CD. So the expectations just kept growing. And then it was like,
it was just rolling.
It was, and there was no plan, and it was natural, and it was cool. So we were just excited about all of these opportunities that were coming. We're like, what? We get to go to Germany? That's insane. And then what? We can go to Japan and put a CD out, and a college radio station in California plays it or something. It was.
So when was the first time you actually got out of United States and play in Europe? Or?
Well, it was funny because, so we had played a few shows around for 6 months at home, and they were small shows with punk rock bands and bands that ended up getting bigger later, like The Offspring and all these bands that were just playing small shows. And then a German record label somehow heard about us and offered us to do a CD and to do a European tour for our first tour.
Mm-hmm.
So we went from playing parties and clubs like for 5 or 6 months to putting a CD out in Europe and doing a 2-month tour on a tour bus with this band from Boston called Slapshot.
Oh, yeah.
So it was like going from nothing to a giant tour. And our first show we ever played in Europe was a festival in Sweden with like Blur. And we were like, this is crazy. Like, what is this? This is amazing.
And how did people accept you?
Awesome from the beginning. We just got really lucky with that first tour because Slapshot was really popular at the time. Mm-hmm. So we played in front of like 500 to 1,000 people every night, and we just played as hard as we could, and like people loved it, and it started this fan base from that tour.
Super.
Yeah.
So it is said that your biggest breakout came with A Place Called Home, with this record.
Yeah, I think so.
You think? Why do you think it's this record?
Go ahead.
Oh,
I think the first couple records that we wrote, we had no game plan. Mm-hmm. We just wrote songs, and it didn't matter if a song had a chorus or a verse, or we just wrote music and Zoli sang lyrics over it, and it was fun. Mm-hmm. And then when we started thinking about doing this record, we wanted to really think about the songwriting and write songs with like important, we wanted every piece of music and every lyric to be important in the song and not wasting any time. So if there's 3 minutes of music, it all had to be important. So we really like started focusing on the songwriting. And then when we were finished with the record and released it, we didn't know if people were gonna like it because it was a little bit different than our previous CDs, and everybody loved it 10 times more.
It sounds brighter to me, like, you know?
Yeah.
Like you said, you put more thought into
yes
writing process, so it maybe it's...
It was more professional production too, because yeah, it was actually a little bit of money from the record company that we could actually go into a big studio. And we walked in and on the wall was Billy Idol Records, Jane's Addiction. We're like, oh, this is a real studio, not just our friend's demo tape was recorded here.
Yeah.
And the microphones are broken, you know?
So you released 4 albums?
Yeah, maybe more because there was European versions and then there was American versions. And so basically 4 plus a couple European ones. Yeah.
So, but you are together for 22 years, so it's still not a lot. So is this because you put more effort into live concerts or?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, the first 4 years of the band, we released 2 or 3 CDs, a couple in Europe and a couple in America. And then, since then, it's taken like 3, 4, 5 years each CD. We tour a lot in between. A lot. We go everywhere, you know.
You think it's more important to bring message to people personally or with CD? Because with CD you get a bigger space.
Yeah, I mean, I think both go hand in hand. Now, when we started, there really was no internet, at least not in my house.
Yeah,
I didn't have, you know. And now it's so crazy, you know. You can release a song and in 1 hour it can be all over the world. Instantly through a video on YouTube or something. So it's like the power of the internet's insane.
Is it only Zoli that writes lyrics or other members participate
yeah,
too?
Yeah, we have a couple other. I write some lyrics and our guitar player Nick writes some lyrics and Zoli writes a big portion of them, yeah.
So are they let's say different, like your lyrics? Or Zoli's, because I don't know which one are yours or Zoli's.
So very different.
Except Hungarian ones.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I don't write. I don't know Hungarian, so I can't write.
Yeah.
No, I mean Zoli writes a lot of stuff with sometimes like a agenda that deals with social things, environmental organizations. Uh-huh. He incorporates that into the the lyrics. And when me and Nick write lyrics, it's typically more personal songs and less socially or politically charged lyrics, I would say. So yeah, it's slightly different. And Zoli writes personal songs too, of course, but I've never really...
From his perspective.
I've never really written a political song.
Because you are not interested in politics or...?
No, I totally am. I just never have.
Okay. Do you like, as a bass player, also participate in writing music?
Yeah. We all write a lot of the music. Sometimes I'll write a song on guitar. Like our song on our last album, Bleeding. That was the first song I ever wrote on guitar first.
Mm-hmm.
And because I always usually tried to start a song off by writing a bass line.
Mm-hmm.
But I was visiting my family and my brother had a guitar and a little amp. So it was Christmas time and I started writing a song on guitar and it ended up being Bleeding. And so it was fun for me to like write on a different instrument.
So this is your song, Bleeding?
The music is, yeah.
Okay, now we are going to listen to Bleeding.
Hey, look at that. I segued that well.
Living a kingdom of rains that does the world rule the day. The precious to throw them away. The pleader rounds kill all you 238. The troubled times bringing on our darkest days. This is the death of liberty. This is the price that life has come to mean. All our friends now enemies. The misery of bleeding. Bleeding. To my country, the mounting cause my freedom's lost. Death of liberty. Tell the truth, God. Something to say. No blood for oil, killing fields, Halliburton money. Wounded troops left to rot, no help from the VA. These troubled times bringing on our darkest days. This is the death of liberty. This is the price that life has come to mean. All our friends now enemies. The misery of...
So, it's long time since you released your last album.
Really?
Yeah. 2006, no?
10 years, is that too long?
Nine.
Yeah, it's way too long.
Yeah. So, at least internet says so.
Yeah. And all of our fans say so too.
Yeah, it's a lot. So, you probably have some new material?
Yeah, we've been writing a lot of songs and we've actually started recording and are probably about 75% finished with the new album.
Oh, super. Yeah. So tonight we are going to hear some new music also?
At least one, maybe two new songs.
Are there any, let's say, surprises on the new record?
They're all surprises.
All surprises? But we have to wait to see.
Even for us, sometimes it's a surprise.
Did you, like, do something new with?
Yeah, I mean, it's so crazy because when you start writing a record, you really don't... You have an idea of what the album's going to be, but then the songs always change character and sounds and everything when you play them. And then you go play them live. So we're playing songs on this tour, and they're changing already, and we just recorded them, so now we're thinking, oh man, do we go back in there and add this drum roll here and do this stuff here? So music's crazy.
Yeah, so it's so when we can expect it, this record?
It's going to be this year.
This year?
Yeah, so we need to go home and finish this. We have a lot of tours coming up also that we're going to be recording in between to finish it. Our producer that's doing the album works with a lot of big bands, so it's finding the right time that's available for everybody to get into the studio. So, yeah, the goal is to get this done before the summer and have it released after the summer.
Aren't you afraid if he's doing working with big bands that he will polish music too much to be more nice to bigger audience?
Yeah, but like you just said, the last one sounded brighter. And, yeah. It's nice when it sounds good.
Yeah.
You put it in and it's big and it's powerful and it's like in your face. Like.
But you still have your word, your saying in what will be the end
Absolutely.
Product.
Yeah. No keyboards.
No. Why no keyboards?
No, the keyboards are fine.
Okay. So Galahala is pretty small club. Okay.
Yeah.
Do you prefer playing in smaller clubs or bigger stages?
I like both of them. Like last night we played the Underworld in London and it was sold out, packed, and there's no barricade. Kids are falling onto the stage.
They're similar in size.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's fun. And then it's cool when you play big shows with big bands, and we enjoy all of it. It's all part of the whole process.
So when you release this new record, will you come back to Europe to promote?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, we're coming back this summer to do some festivals in May and then probably August already, so we'll be...
Are you doing Mighty Sounds?
I don't know.
We will see.
I hope so.
So, we have to finish.
Okay.
Yeah, because we will... Shalak slyšimo tist komad. Yeah. We will listen a place called Home for the end. Our listeners will hear it.
Yeah.
So we have to say goodbye. See you tonight at the concert. I wish you a very nice crowd. I don't doubt it will be.
Thank you very much for having us in here, and hopefully we can come back when we have the new record out.
Yeah. Thank you for coming.
Thank you.
Intervju Radija Študent.